I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Plunta.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, November 6th, 2017.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I guess we both had busy weekends. You were busy with your, you were at a dinner on Saturday, is that right?
Yeah, it was the activist banquet that I've been planning for months. So that was finally on Saturday, and it was, yeah, it's been quite a busy last few weeks especially. So.
Yeah. Now, for people listening to that don't know, you are a member of a union, and
yes,
you're on on the executive of the union. Is that right?
I'm on a component executive, and I was recently appointed to the Women's Provincial Executive Committee.
Yeah. So.
So one of my one of the responsibilities I have on one of the committees I'm on is planning social events. And this was our annual activist banquet. So basically any active activist within the union. We had 300 people. So we opened registration to double what we usually do. Tried a new venue this year at the Anvil Center.
Oh, so the event was inside the Anvil Center?
Yeah.
So who does the cooking? The old spaghetti factory? Because that's across
the street,
right?
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine? That would be, you know what, no offense to Old Spaghetti Factory, but I've not had the greatest experiences there.
I went with some friends once to the one in Richmond, you know, the one that's like way, way south where it's in front of the movie theater.
You know, wow, I don't even know where that is. I didn't even realize they had one in Richmond.
It's in, like, East Richmond. It's like you walk a little further and your hat will float.
I have no idea where East Richmond is.
Yeah, and so anyway, it was the worst meal. I belched, like, weeks later and could still taste it.
Oh, God. Horrible.
And then I went to the one in Gastown, which is the one that's haunted, apparently.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the meal wasn't very good. But I have a very good friend of mine, an older fellow, who just loves the Old Spaghetti Factory. Actually, a lot of the older people I know love the Old Spaghetti Factory.
A lot of older people like it. Well,
yeah.
I had a friend last night. Him and I got into a debate about it. And he loves the Old Spaghetti Factory.
Is he an older gentleman?
No, he's our age.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
But I think he acts a little old. He acts elderly. And I said, you know, really, the only thing I go there for is the spumoni. You know, the nice ice cream.
Yeah, the free ice cream, yeah.
And the bread. I love that bread that they bring out.
Yeah. I wonder if people in the States have the same feeling towards that, that we do towards the Old Spaghetti Factory, towards, like, the Olive Garden. Because I think that's a comparable.
I don't know. Well, you know what, though? I went to the Old Spaghetti Factory in Seattle, too, and it was not good either.
Yeah.
It was not good.
Well, I went with some friends recently to the one in New West. Actually, twice. The last two times I went, and we went because, you know, my buddy George wanted to go,
right?
And so we went, and I have to say the meal wasn't terrible.
Really?
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't like going to. I was going to say Little Charlie's, but Little Charlie's is gone now on Main Street, or even Gigi's on Broadway or Martini's on Broadway.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's not as the Italian food there is not great, but it's not as bad as the Old Spaghetti Factory. But the one in New West where I went, which is why I brought it up, because it's in front of the Anvil Center.
It is.
Wasn't terrible the last two times I went for lunch.
That's the one I went to, and it was terrible.
It was, yeah. Well.
Yeah. Different strokes for different folks, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's.
I don't know.
I wouldn't go there. That wouldn't be my first choice.
No, it's definitely not my first choice. Like, if everything was closed.
Yeah.
And delivery was not available.
Yeah.
And I was starving, I may go in and ask for some bread.
So, who did the food at your dinner?
It's one of the catering companies that cater. It's a restaurant that's attached
so it's
to
not,
the Anvil Center.
Oh, okay. So I thought the Anvil Center, they don't have a kitchen there, or do they?
No, not.
It's a very beautiful facility. I went there recently.
It was a great facility, and all the staff was really accommodating. They were so great. It went off without a hitch, so that was. I mean, actually, there were a few fires to put out, literally, at first. We made these centerpieces ourselves that were mason jars, and we put like some, I think it's called, I can't remember what it's called, but it looks like twine.
Okay.
Like taffeta type twine around the tops of the mason jars, and filled them with water and put tea light candles in them. But some of the twines were catching fire.
How?
Well, because we had three jars on the table and they were all different sizes. So they were just placement issues, basically.
But tea lights are not flame, though, right?
Yeah, they were lit.
No, but tea light are, oh, okay, so they're, okay, tea lights that are candles, actual candles.
Yes. Floating tea light candles.
Not the ones that you could get at Michael's that have a little switch or something. And
no, I was looking for those, actually. We spent, so we couldn't get candles in enough time. So on Friday evening, the event's on Saturday. Friday afternoon, we were on Amazon trying to make use of my Amazon Prime subscription to get some 100 and some odd tea light candles delivered to us for Saturday.
Yeah.
And when I was looking, it said that the earliest delivery date would be Saturday. And then I click and I put in all the info ready to place the order. And then it says, can't be delivered till the 7th. So that stressed me out. I called Amazon.
Canceled the order?
Canceled the order. And we ended up finding a bunch of tea light candles that we had to light, albeit ourselves, but we found a bunch at Canadian Tire at the last minute, so thank God.
This is like planning a wedding then, isn't it?
Oh God, it was exactly like planning a wedding. I mean, although I've never planned a wedding, I could imagine the stress levels were probably at the same level.
Mm-hmm.
At the last minute, you know, I wasn't even sure that my entertainment was going to show up.
Oh.
So I was super panicked up until basically literally about 45 minutes before he was set to come on. He messaged me and said he was on his way. So, you know.
What would you have done if the entertainment didn't show up?
We had a DJ there, so my plan was to just get the music started earlier.
Dance floor,
And get the dance floor started. So I had a backup plan, so that's good.
Yeah.
But thankfully he did show up, and, you know, like I think I remember telling you, as a spoken word artist, Ronnie Dean Harris, who's extremely talented. And
I saw him in the movie The Road Forward.
Yeah.
Marie Clements' film, and he was very good in that. Well, they're all very good in that film. The artists that I've never really been familiar with before, just terrific talent we have in this part of the world that we overlook.
Exactly, and that was exactly my point of trying to get somebody in that, you know, just highlighting kind of our local talent and that have kind of the same values that we have, that are in line with kind of what we value as well. So I think he did an amazing performance. Hopefully looking forward to doing more work with him in the future. But
so you're planning next year's event already?
Learning from this year's event, absolutely. Like, we need to, I figure the earlier you start, the less stress you have. And although I'm a procrastinator and I kind of sometimes work better when I have the stress of time constraints.
Yeah.
I think maybe this time around I'm going to try and work a little more in a timely manner. I don't know that I really like that level of anxiety.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's, but, I mean, the event went off well, so, I mean, you know, that's your incentive to do it again, right?
Yeah, no, it went really well, so I was happy. And, you know, of course, we won't know until we get the feedback from 300 people. You know, that feedback will be variable, but for the most part, everyone seemed really, really pleased. And I heard nothing but good things about the venue and the food. The food was great, and of course, because it was kind of my event, I didn't get too much time to, like, sit and fully enjoy my meal, but from what I did have of it, it was delicious.
Huh. So people went up, came up to you and talked to you and told you that it was a nice event, right?
Yeah, they did. It was great.
Shaking hands and hugging and things like that?
Oh, yes, all of the things and, you know.
Schmooze.
All the schmoozing and, you know, making sure I have a seat, a position next year because elections are coming up. But, you know, that's not my priority. But, yeah, a lot of hugging, a lot of handshaking and, you know, like I've told you, I'm a bit of a hypochondriac, so.
Well, here's this is a good thing to write because while you were at your gala do, I went over to Little Mountain Gallery here on Main Street, Main and 26. And my friend Charlie Demers, he has a new imprint at Arsenal Pulp Press. And so their first book was published by Evany Rosen, who was on the show last week, a comedian from Toronto. And so I went to support Charlie, and I went to go see Evany because she's a wonderful comedian. She's done, you know, comedy network stuff in Toronto and things like that. Very funny show that they had on Saturday night. So I walk into the thing, and then I see Charlie. And I haven't seen Charlie in probably a while, but, you know, I tweet at him, or he tweets at me, or Facebook, you know, some comments here and there. So we have kept in touch that way, I guess. And so we're walking towards each other. Hey, Charlie. Hey, Joe. I stick out my hand. And the minute I stick up, just before I stick up my hand, he's already got his arm around, ready to lean in for a hug. Now,
right.
So he can see my hand at this point, and he's thinking, "Oh, sorry, I didn't." You know, he thought that I was. I said, "Well, no, I don't mind hugging, you know, because you know he's a nice friend, and I've known him a while, so I don't mind doing that." But Charlie is a very affectionate person in generally. Whereas I'm probably not. But, I mean, I didn't mind hugging Charlie, and I don't mind hugging other people, really. But I guess you are your inclination is not to hug, or is it to just shake hands with folks?
You know, well, like, I never really know what to do. It's like, how do you gauge, right? Is there a certain amount of time you know somebody before, you know, you feel comfortable hugging? I mean, yesterday, for example, like, there was many different occurrences. There was a gentleman that I met last month at a conference.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I met him last month. And then last night when I met him again and I saw him, you know, we went in for a handshake. But I just felt like we've already talked so much. Like, I should be giving him a hug, right? It's just a little more personal.
And that's expected, I would think, of a woman. A woman would do that because she was generally affectionate, or not even affectionate, but more tactile than, say, a guy.
Well, our treasurer then, our treasurer who is also a friend of mine, too, when I saw him yesterday, you know, sometimes I just like to, when we're in public, I like to keep it professional, you know. So I initially was going in for a handshake, and he went in for kind of the half hug.
Yeah, the one arm.
You know, which the one arm, which, you know, I was not opposed to, but it's like I wasn't expecting that because we're at a large event. And then there's others who, like, you know, my other problem was, like, you know, somebody going in for a hug, and then they hold on for, like, 3 minutes.
You see, that happened last Monday when I was at Rafe Mayer's funeral. I'd met some people.
And I
assume that that's fine because it's a funeral. But I don't think, like, if we ran into each other in the mall or something, I would do the same thing. Nor would they.
Yeah, if I saw you, if I was like, "Oh my God, Joseph," and then I gave you a hug, and then the time I'm hugging, I'd be like, "Oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in so long. We have to hang out some more," and like having a full conversation, like, "Okay, let go of me."
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But see, these are the things too. Guys can't really. I mean, well, I probably be reticent to do, you know, a longer than 10-second hug, especially in light of like Weinstein or Bill Cosby or any of these things, right? I'm not going to push myself on someone, you know.
No, I may press charges. I'll let you know right now. I will. I'm not comfortable with it at all. So. 10 seconds is pretty much your limit.
That's it. But yeah, no, I mean, I like some of my best friends. Like, I've the only time I've ever really hugged them, was at their wedding. And you know, I guess it's a guy thing, isn't it?
Well, it's guys, right?
Yeah.
It's guys.
But see, I don't mind doing that, but I think they mind, so I don't do it. You know, I don't lean in. Plus, I don't like some of them.
It's so,
you know?
Weird. You know, it's weird. It's weird, and it's weird for me, especially because I am kind of like an introvert, right? Mm. So just the whole action of me having to get out and, like, interact sometimes, it can be really strenuous for me.
Yeah.
So, like, adding the personalization, I like to call it, and, you know, the hugging and personalizing that interaction, I like it, but sometimes it's like it can be awkward, and it's just really sometimes difficult for me to like read what we should be doing. Do I know you well enough to hug you? Is that going to make you feel uncomfortable? And yes, some people, you know, you do the fake, you know, cheek kiss thing too, and that's very socially acceptable as well.
Yeah.
It's like kind of being professional, but loving in a professional way.
Yeah.
So many different things. I have, you know, there's one guy who just likes, you know, he just gives me the fist. You know, we just pound it out.
Oh, like, yeah.
He's also a hypochondriac, so he doesn't want to, like, pass the germs and stuff.
So, you're more of a germaphobe than say, unfriendly.
Yes. It's not that I don't want to be friendly. It's just more about, yeah.
Hygiene, yeah.
Hygiene, and I'm not saying anyone's dirty, but it's just...
Oh, yeah, and especially in this time of year when everyone's got a cold or something, you don't want to catch something.
Well, yeah, that's what I noticed, right? Like, everybody's sick right now, and it's not like the visible sickness, like cough and runny nose and stuff. Like, what I'm hearing is it's all internal, you know, like head colds.
Yeah.
And that's what scares me, because, you know, you just... Like, the other day, I was hugging people, and then one guy was like, oh, I'm just getting over this nasty cold. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, why would you, automatically, I'm thinking, where's my hand sanitizer? I need to go to find the closest bathroom and bathe in that. So it just stresses me out. Sounds so trivial.
Just stay home and watch movies all the time, I guess, right?
First world problems. Yeah, I know. Well, that's... I could do that.
Yeah. Seen anything good lately?
With all these things, I don't know what I can watch anymore. I watched this really good documentary. It's about Khalif Browder. He was about a 16-year-old who was basically held for 3 years in solitary confinement on Rikers Island.
Did he do something bad?
Well, he was accused of stealing a backpack off of somebody and was brought in for questioning and then held for trial for 3 years. So he didn't even have a trial.
No, but had he had any prior record? Like, this was like the third strike maybe?
Well, you got to watch the documentary.
Should I?
I can't tell you. Well, this is the thing. So you may change your mind when I tell you. But it is a Harvey Weinstein production in conjunction with Jay-Z, okay, or Sean Carter, also known as. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, I don't know if I can support this, right?
Did you know it was a Weinstein, like Weinstein was a producer before or after you saw it? I guess it comes up in the credits, right? When you
well, first, up. Because it's actually a series. This documentary, so there's about six or seven parts to it.
Yeah.
And in the first part, I think when I first started it, I wasn't even paying attention, and it wasn't until I watched the second episode, and I was watching the opening.
And then his name comes up.
And I noticed it was under Jay-Z's name, and I was like, oh, no, I might have to change it.
Well.
But then, you know, like I said, it's a documentary, right? So they weren't, like, real actors, so I felt like maybe there was nobody that was vulnerable on that set.
Yeah.
That's just me, you know, justifying.
Sure.
You know.
But it does make you think. I mean, I was talking to someone this weekend, and they were huge fans of Kevin Spacey. And rather than be disappointed, well, I guess they are disappointed in what's happened, in the things that have happened in Kevin Spacey's life, these charges and so forth. were also disappointed that they would not be able to watch his films again.
Right, I get it.
Now, someone tweeted this on during the week, during this last week, this whole Kevin Spacey thing has come out. I can't remember. I think it was The Usual Suspects. They said, could they remake it without Kevin Spacey?
Without him?
So that they could enjoy it still. But I guess, I don't know. Some of his films, I mean, you do watch them and you would think, I don't know. I watched the first season and then I think a bit of the second season of House of Cards. I thought it was okay. I thought the British series was much, much better. And then I stopped watching it. I probably now, since this has all happened, will not probably watch the rest of it.
No.
No matter what happens. I mean, they have fired him, so.
Yeah, like it kind of changes your perception.
Yeah.
Of that person.
But see, on the other hand, I watched Woody Allen films still.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't know. I just, like I said, I feel like Woody Allen, to me, doesn't really have, like...
Well, you never watched Woody Allen movies before, right?
No.
Yeah.
And to be quite honest, he's always had kind of a pervy look to him, so I don't really trust him anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like I watched, I knew of his problems before, but I mean, a lot of his good movies, like Annie Hall, Manhattan, those were made before all of this stuff. You know, these were in the 70s, right? So,
so it doesn't count.
I don't know if it doesn't count, but I mean, you do watch it with that lens of knowing that the guy's asleep.
Right.
But at the same time, I mean, he makes a movie every year, so then I go out and watch that. I actually haven't seen anything he's done lately, the last 2-3 years.
What has he done lately?
Well, the one that comes out this year is Wonder Wheel with Justin Timberlake and Kate Winslet and a bunch of other people.
How old is he? He's got to be like 100 almost.
Like 80 probably, yeah.
Jesus, he is old.
Yeah, but I mean, he still makes a movie a year, so I mean, every year he comes out with something. I think the last thing I watched was Magic in the Moonlight with Emma Stone and Colin Firth.
Oh.
And, I mean, his casts are wonderful. And you know, even though he is a sleaze, he's able to attract some, you know, top-notch
some
talent
good,
year after year.
Some
after
good
year.
Talent, yeah. No, that's fair enough. I mean, you know...
But see, he's able to work. A guy like Spacey will never work again, and a guy like Bill Cosby will never work again, nor will Harvey Weinstein, I think, after all of this.
And you know, Bill, like, I mean, he's old as dust, too. So, I don't know, do you think he's super concerned?
Well, I think he's concerned about his reputation.
He might be. I mean, who wouldn't be, of course, right?
Remember after he was acquitted, he wanted to tour the country to talk about it, right? So he was still wanting to perform, in a sense, right?
I think he's just old and doesn't really know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I think he needs to take a break and just let this, you know.
Well, he wanted to go out and defend himself. He wanted to, you know, go on a speaking tour, right? Until people said, well, I don't think you should, because then there'll be protests.
Definitely, obviously. And he's not ready for that. You know, like I said, in Bill Cosby's case, I feel like it is disappointing, obviously, hearing all of the accusations and from all the women that have come forward.
Like 40 women.
And that's a lot of women. And those are just the ones that have come forward, right? But in my mind, it's like I'm still able to differentiate Bill Cosby from the character of, like, Cliff Huxtable, you know. So, I still enjoy Cliff Huxtable, but of course, that's like, you'll never see the Cosby Show on TV again.
No, I don't think it is on anymore, is it, after all?
No,
this?
There used to be reruns, but not anymore. They cut that off right away.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, you know, I'm able to differentiate the two.
Hmm.
But I was, like, really disappointed. Really disappointed in him as a person, as Bill Cosby.
Yeah. Well,
it's definitely unsettling.
Well, I mean, we've learned with the Spacey thing. I mean, Hollywood is full of these dirtbags, these holier than thou, trying to act moral. Like especially Cosby. You know, remember Cosby used to criticize everybody for using the wrong grammar, and yet here he was, you know, drugging women.
Gross.
So
it's just, and you know, it's been said for years too, right?
Yeah, so I mean, who...
people have been trying to come out for years with these allegations, and...
who are we going to watch now, you know?
Well, we have to first find out who's not a perv or sexual deviant.
But, I mean, Hollywood's been like that forever, so, I mean, you know, you go back to Thomas Inch and Fatty Arbuckle, you know?
Well, we should just all go on strike and just cut off all our cable.
Well, but before you cut off your cable, watch The National tonight. Rosie Barton was on the show this past week. I'm a big fan of Rosie Barton, and she'll be one of the new hosts, Andrew Chang, who I watched regularly when he was doing the news here in Vancouver, and then, of course, Ian Hanemansing and Adrian Arsenault, top-notch people. They debut in The National tonight, and that's, I guess, 6 p.m. here in Vancouver, 9 p.m. everywhere else in the country.
I'm going to try and watch that, or PVR. I really like that Andrew Chang guy.
He is pretty good, yeah.
He is. He's entertaining to watch, and I like seeing him, so I'm going to try and tune in, start making this a thing now.
Yeah, it's a news, right?
It is. We need to stay on top of it. It gives us more stuff to talk about.
Well, I'll talk to you next week, yeah.
All right, that's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, November 6th.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back in 7 days.